Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series talking about how to fulfill your destiny. And this is the very end of this series. Actually, this Friday is going to be the end of our entire teaching. I've been doing this for a number of weeks. I would like to remind you about our CD set that we have. We also have a DVD as seen on TV, so you could get this in CD or DVD. But then we have this brand new Destiny Stories Volume 1, and we've been playing these. Yesterday, I aired the teaching about, or the interview with Leland Shores, our man in Uganda. And I tell you, this is a powerful thing. It's a faith builder. I believe it could really be a blessing. So please take advantage of all of these materials. Now, we're coming to the very end of our teaching. And what I've already talked about is that everyone has a destiny. It's not up to you to just pick and choose and do your own thing and ask God to bless it. But God has a plan, a destiny for your life. And the number one way to find that is to become a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it's just our reasonable service is to make a total, complete commitment to the Lord and just offer yourself as a living sacrifice. The second thing, well, actually, that did be number three in this series, but the next step after you become a living sacrifice, Romans 12, 2, says that you have to be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I really emphasized how you need to combine these two. You need to be a living sacrifice, but at the same time, you need to get the truth of God's Word in you. A person who is really committed to the Lord and is willing to go anywhere, do anything, be anything, and yet doesn't have the truth of God's Word in them is just, fair game to the devil. Satan preys on ignorance. And so you have to have these things in combination. You can't just know the Word, but yet not be committed to God and putting God first, or you'll wind up using the Word of God like a club, and you will twist it and pervert it for your own selfish things. So you've got to be a living sacrifice and pure in your heart and in your commitment to God, but that's not enough. You need to couple that with the Word. So that's what we've already talked about. What I want to talk about today and the rest of this week as we end this series is just a very practical way of you figuring out how to fulfill your destiny, how to be led by God, and how to just walk into His plans for your life. And, you know, this is really a very complicated subject. It takes a lot of maturity. It takes walking with the Lord. And there's no way that I can just say, here's step 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Christian life really isn't just principles and rules and steps. It's relationship with God, and it just takes time to build relationship. So if you are brand new in the Lord, you know, God may be speaking to you and good things happening, but I can guarantee you, if you just continue to walk with the Lord, and if you continue your relationship and continue to put God first, you're going to get better at it as time goes along. You just build a relationship with God. And so it's not as simple as just this teaching that I have on the Destiny series. These are things to get you started. They're things that are major points that will help you to develop. But again, I want to emphasize that you just need to get to know God yourself. So by no means is this everything that you need to know about how to fulfill your destiny, but these are some of the main points and some of the main things that God has used in my life. And what I'm going to be sharing with you the rest of this week is one of the most practical things that I've learned about being led by God and having God show me His will and following Him. And it's really simple. This is going to be so simple. Some of you will just reject this and think, oh, it's got to be more complicated than this, and you'll look for something else. You know, one of the things that I've discovered is that most people complicate their relationship with God. They make it tougher than what it needs to be. It really is not that hard. If your heart is pure, if you're a living sacrifice, if you're in the Word of God, and if you've renewed your mind, then the next step is basically that if you are truly putting God first, you just do the things that God has placed on your heart. That's really simple. Let me share this with you from Psalms chapter 37. In verse 1, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, this verse 4 is what I'm wanting you to look at. It says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Now, this should be obvious to any person who has very much understanding of the Word of God, that this isn't saying that God just gives you anything you want. There's many scriptures. James chapter 4, I believe it's verses 1 and 2, it says, "You have not because you ask not." And then it says, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust." And so that's very clear that if you're asking for something just to satisfy your own lust, God's not going to give it to you. God's a good God. It's like a parent. And you know, if a kid, if all they wanted to do was eat candy all of the time and they never wanted to eat any protein, they never wanted any vegetables, they never wanted anything, any fruit, anything that they needed, all they wanted was cake and candy and things like that. You know, there's a place for that, but a parent would have to say, "No, you can't have this." And God, as our Heavenly Father, there are things that we ask for that are bad for us, and God doesn't answer and just give you anything you want. That should be obvious. You know, there's people that are tired with their mate, and they just want a new mate, and so they're praying and asking God to give them a new mate. God's not going to answer that kind of prayer. You need to love the one that you're married to. You need to make that relationship work. You know, there's other scriptures like 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, that this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. Those verses are making it very clear that you have to ask according to God's will. Now, that's not as vague as some people have tried to make it today, because God's Word is His will. If there is something in the Word, like for instance in 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So the Word makes it very clear that God, above all things, wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So you don't have to say, "Well, God, if it's your will, please meet my needs. God, if it's your will, please heal my body." The Scripture makes it very clear it is God's will. So I'm not saying that just praying and asking God's will to be done is a nebulous thing and you just say, "Well, whatever will be, will be." No, that's not what I'm saying. The Word makes it very clear. But I am saying that you can't just go out and fulfill every lust of yours. If you want to go out and commit adultery, if you want to go out and rob a bank and use your faith and ask so that God can help you to get away with a bank robbery and they can't find you, God's not going to answer those kind of prayers because those are detrimental to you. They're detrimental to other people. God isn't going to answer something like that. But if it's something that's promised us in the Word of God, God is going to answer those things. So I bring all of this back to Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." This isn't saying that He will give you the nicest car that there is because this is what you want, and it's just something that you're out to fulfill the lust, your own desires and lust. Again, James chapter 4, verse 2, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your lust." There are some of you that are wanting million-dollar homes, and again, there's nothing wrong with you having a million-dollar home if you've paid your dues, if you're putting first the kingdom of God and things like this. I'm not against people prospering, but there are some of you that are lusting after things that, you know what, you don't have enough faith. Even if you got it, you wouldn't have enough faith to pay the utility bills on the place. You wouldn't have enough faith to keep the house clean. You'd have to hire 4 or 5 maids to keep the house clean. You just aren't there. And there are some of you lusting after things that it's not God's will, at least at this point in time, for you to have that. I hope I'm making myself clear. I'm not against prosperity, but there's prosperity is not supposed to be the primary thing. It's a byproduct. It's something that comes afterwards. You know, I have a lot of my Bible college students that, in the Bible college, I'm teaching and I'm always giving personal examples and stories and talking about things. And right now, my wife and I are living a blessed life. Our house is paid for. Our cars are paid for. We owe nobody anything. Our ministry is blessed. And we are prospering during a time of what the world is calling a recession. And they see these things and they hear these testimonies. And there are people that just want to come in and instantly have their house paid for and have all of their cars paid for and have some money in the bank, and they want to do this. And they don't realize that, man, Jamie and I have been seeking the Lord for 41 years. We haven't done it perfectly during 41 years. In the beginning of our married life and ministry, man, I made some serious mistakes in finances and we had financial crisis, but the Lord has taught us and we applied these principles, and there's a growth process. And we are now living in a place where we are blessed and prosperous and God's blessing us. And some of these students come in that have only been seeking the Lord for 6 months and they want to just instantly jump to the same place that they see us at. And it doesn't work that way. The Bible teaches that there is a seed, time, and harvest. And it's more like seed and then time and then harvest. Amen. Sometimes it just takes a while. You have to be patient. In due season, you'll reap. So anyway, my point is that, see, there are some people that are just lusting for this and for this and for this. This Psalms chapter 37, verse 4 is not saying that if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, He'll just give you whatever your lusts are. That you could go out and believe for $1 million home, a $60,000 car, a $120,000 car, all of the jewels, all of the things, and God is going to give you whatever you lust for. That is not what this is saying. Here's what I believe Psalms 37:4 is saying, is that when you delight yourself in the Lord, God will give you the desires of your heart. This is talking about God puts His desires in your heart when you are really seeking Him and putting Him first. When you are seeking after the Lord, God supernaturally starts molding your heart and your desires, changing your desires to be His desires. He puts His desires in your heart. This isn't just saying that He will fulfill every lust that you've got. If you want to have relationships with a prostitute, you're just going to pray and God's going to give you whatever you lust for. No, that's not what this is saying. This is saying that when you are really putting God first, God starts putting His desires in your heart. And you know, those of you watching this program who've really had an encounter with the Lord, I bet you that if you would just allow the Lord to show you this, He could take you back to when you got born again and just show you how He has changed the desires of your heart. There are some of you that used to love to drink, get drunk. You know, the man who runs our ministry, David Hardesty, at one time was an alcoholic and just drank and loved that stuff. And now he's repulsed by the very thing. God changed the desires of his heart. I've known people that were into, pornography, and they just were addicted to that. They get born again, and God changes the desires of their heart. There were people that were into dope. There were people that were into just anger and bitterness, that had a foul mouth, that couldn't say anything decent and kind, and God changes their heart, and they become the kindest, sweetest people. It's hard sometimes when people come and tell me what they've come out of to even imagine that they were ever there, because they are such a changed person. God has changed their heart. This is what this is talking about, that when you delight yourself in the Lord, God puts His desires in your heart. Now that is a profound truth, and it's really powerful. I've actually used this before, witnessing to people, and someone just said something like, like cigarettes or something. And they said, but I just love to smoke. I just love it. I couldn't give up my cigarettes. And I know that if I get born again, God's going to lead me to do that. And so I just can't believe that I could ever be born again. You know, I've told people in a situation like that, well, I tell you what, let's just pray and commit your life to the Lord. Ask God to come into your life, and then you can smoke all you want to. Now, some people immediately take offense at that and think you shouldn't tell people that. But what I'm doing, I'm tricking them. Because if the person truly comes to the Lord, if the person truly commits their life to the Lord, you know what? God is going to start changing their heart to where they won't want to do things that are destructive. They'll recognize that this is damaging their body. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't think you go to hell if you smoke. I'm not one of those that preaches that if you smoke, you lose your salvation and go to hell. You probably smell like you've been there, but you do not go to hell if you smoke. I don't believe it's an unpardonable sin, but I do believe it's destructive. And most people who smoke desire to quit. They just can't do it. And there's some people that honestly think, well, if I have to commit my life to the Lord, I know He's going to ask me to quit this, or it could be something else, and I just am not sure I could do it. And I've told people, well, you just go ahead and commit your life to the Lord, and then you do what you want to do. And I'm tricking them, because when they get truly born again, God changes the desires of your heart. Now, this is really important, because, and here's the reason I'm bringing all of this up, is that if you recognize you have a destiny, like the very first thing we taught, if you have made Jesus your Lord and you have become a living sacrifice, and if you are getting in the Word of God and renewing your mind, I believe that all of these things are involved in what it says, delight yourself in the Lord, talking about making your focus on the Lord. You have put God first. You are seeking God first and foremost. When you are doing these things, then God puts His desires in your heart. And when that happens, you can basically, now here's a statement that is going to shock some of you, but you can basically do what you want to do, and that is what God is leading you to do. Now, that's, in a sense, dangerous to say, because I know that there's people all over this world that maybe you're just flipping the dial and you hear me say something like this. You may have no commitment to the Lord. You may have a very small commitment to the Lord, maybe acknowledge that He exists, but you are basically running your life and doing your own thing. And if you try and do what you want to do, well, then I guarantee you many of you would go straight into sin. And many of you are desiring things that are ungodly and not good for you or other people. I am not saying that that's the way it's supposed to be, but I'm saying that Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. If you are delighting in the Lord, if you are seeking God, if you've become a living sacrifice to God and you're renewing your mind with the Word of God and getting His thoughts in you, then God is going to place His desires in your heart. He will lead you through the desires of your heart if you are delighting yourself in the Lord. Now, that's a huge if. And again, it's somewhat dangerous to say this on television all around the world with people just getting a few words and taking this and running off. But I can't, you know, I can't sit there and not tell the truth just because somebody is going to misuse it and misapply it. The truth is, the Scripture says, when you delight yourself in the Lord, God puts His desires in your heart. And if you know that you're seeking God, then you can do what you desire to do. That's all dependent upon you having a real commitment, a real love for the Lord. But if you do that, God will lead you. You know, I could give you a million examples of this. This is one of the dominant ways that God leads me. But I could give you so many examples of this. You know, just on and on. I remember when I was in Seagoville, Texas, and I was pastoring a church there. God led me to Seagoville, Texas. And if any of you have been to Seagoville, Texas, it's not a special place. Some people would go there. I've had people hear me talk about this, and they go there and they think, whatever drew you to Seagoville, Texas? Well, when God, see, I was seeking God, and God put Seagoville, Texas on my heart. And I moved there, and for 2 years, I ministered there. I prayed for those people. Man, I fasted. I sought God. We saw individual lives touched. And I just fell in love with the people of Seagoville, Texas. And I was ministering to them and praying for them. And they weren't receiving very well. I had some very negative things happen. I nearly got run out of town on the rail. I had a lot of rejection and persecution. And I had other people tell me, why don't you leave this place? Go somewhere else. Go someplace where people want to hear what you've got to say. But you know what? I just fell in love with that place, and I was ministering there. And then, it's a long story, I could go into a great deal, but I was praying one day down at our church building right downtown Seagoville, Texas, and I was praying, and I mean, just like that, I lost my love for that place. I remember looking out the window and seeing this water tower that said Seagoville on it, and I looked at it, and I thought, what am I doing in this place? I don't like this place. Man, I can't wait to get out of here. And, you know, it was such a change. I mean, prior to that, I just loved this place. People had tried to talk me out of leaving and coming, going other places. And no, this is where God put me, and I just loved it. And I mean, just like on a dime, my heart changed. And it was such a drastic change. I mean, a drastic change that I thought, this can't be normal. There wasn't anything that had happened that had soured me on that place. It was just all of a sudden, my desires and my heart just radically changed. And so it startled me when it happened. And I spent about 2 or 3 hours praying and saying, God, what's going on? And over a period of a couple of hours, I just really felt like God was telling me it's time to move on. I'm sending you to a new place. And so I prayed about it, and I felt like, you know, it was, I forget exactly what time of the year it was. It was somewhere around August or September. And I prayed about it, and I felt like the Lord told me that November the 1st, we'd be leaving Seagoville, Texas. So I prayed about it until I got assurance that this was the direction of God. I went home to tell Jamie that we were going to be moving November the 1st. And I remember going home and thinking, God, prepare her and let her know, you know, so that she'll understand this. And when I got home, there was a for sale sign in our yard. We were renting a house. And I walked in and I asked Jamie, I said, what's the for sale sign? She said, the landlord just came over and said, they're selling the house. You got to be out by November the 1st. It was exactly what God had spoke to me. And it was such a confirmation that this was God telling us. We weren't just leaving because the house we were renting was being sold. We were leaving because God was leading us to go. And it was a word from God. And you know how all of it happened? I just lost my desire to be in that place. All of a sudden, my desire changed, and God gave me the desires of my heart. And it turned out to be totally God. If I had more time, I could just give you the whole story, but it was a miraculous thing. And God led us through the desires of my heart. And this is what Psalms chapter 37 is talking about. When you are truly delighting yourself in the Lord and putting God first, then you can trust the desires of your heart. If you aren't putting God first, you can't trust the desires of your heart. And so this really is dependent upon you having an honest, sincere, genuine heart to where you know that, God, I'm seeking you to the best of my ability. If you can't say that, then you can't just do the things that come into your heart. But if you have committed yourself to the Lord, if you are putting God first and sincerely seeking Him, it doesn't mean you're perfect at it. None of us are perfect. But if you are sincerely seeking God with all of your heart, then those desires that come into your heart are from God. And you can do the things that God puts in your heart. This is one of the number one ways of God leading us and showing us His will for our lives. Now, I've got a lot more to say about this. I'm going to be explaining this in a lot more detail. There needs to be some balance placed to this so that you don't go out and just do something that is carnal and selfish. And I'm going to be dealing with this, so I encourage you to listen in to the rest of these programs. And also, please get the materials that we're offering, because this will put it in its proper context. It will help you, and I promise you, this is something that could change your life. So listen as our announcer gives you that information. Call or write today and receive these materials.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories, Volume 1, is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these destiny stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's 4-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The fourth teaching in the CD album titled Following the Desires of Your Heart is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT122C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. Coming to Karis Bible College this fall, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc.
The blending of our ministries together, what a joy for us, because to work with a ministry like Andrew and Jamie that love God's Word and they love worship. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs. The teaching of the Word of God that we've sat under in the Andrew's ministry has really influenced our writing so much.
We have just added a brand new dynamic to our Karis Bible College, and that is that Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, who have been traveling with me for many years, and they have now joined up with our Karis Bible College to open up a school of worship and music ministry. And I tell you, they are powerful, and there's just so many things that they've learned in like 30-something years of ministry that they're going to be able to impart into people's lives.
New this fall at Karis Bible College, the School of Worship and Music Ministry with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc. Call or write for more information. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth seminar, August 6th through the 8th, and in Little Rock, Arkansas, August 28th through the 30th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
We're getting close to our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be on June the 29th through July the 3rd, and it's going to be a great time for the whole family. We have children's ministry. We have it set up so that there are our CBC classes in the morning, but the afternoons are off, and then evening meetings. It's just a great time, and I believe that it could be a vacation for you and your whole family. The children will be blessed. So make plans to join me June the 29th through July the 3rd for our Summer Family Bible Conference.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.